Blog Talk Radio.
So now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacred Blog Talk Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason, and other worldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotes Nautas.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Sacerdotes Radio. On today's show or episode, I'm going to speak on Laudato Si, which is the new encyclical released by the Holy Father last week and has been causing a lot of commotion lately in the media and within the Catholic Church. Now, this is the second encyclical released by the Holy Father and is causing a lot of trouble among Catholics and non-Catholics alike, as I stated. A draft of the encyclical was leaked by L'Espresso magazine and got a lot of mixed reactions when people saw the different excerpts of the draft. In this draft, the Pope was siding with environmentalists and calling attention to global warming and the influence humanity has in this significant alteration of the Earth's climate. Now, conservatives are already attacking the Pope based on the leaked draft, calling him a progressive and even a communist. Conservatives in the United States, for the most part, deny that global warming is occurring and believe it is propaganda from the left in order to put restrictions on businesses that generate a lot of profits at the cost of the environment. Even Catholics who adhere to conservative political views are upset at the Pope's involvement in the global warming issue and are citing with their own politics, their own political parties, instead of with the successor of Peter, the vicar of Christ. Now, in the draft that was released, these were some of the paragraphs that were causing a lot of commotion, and the Pope blamed the world's environmental problems on businesses and humanity. And in the draft, it said, quote, humanity is called to take note of the need for changes in lifestyle and changes in methods of production and consumption to combat this warming, or at least the human causes that produce and accentuate it. And another one, numerous scientific studies indicate that the greater part of the global warming in recent decades is due to the great concentration of greenhouse gases given off above all because of human activity. Now, the pontiff also condemns those who deny the effects human pollution is having on the environment. Quote, the attitudes that stand in the way of a solution, even among believers, range from negation of the problem to indifference, to convenient resignation or blind faith in technical solutions, end quote. Now again, these are just drafts. I do not have time to actually get into the whole encyclical right now, because it's very long, it's over 100 pages. But these are the excerpts from the draft that was released that were causing a lot of commotion. And the final draft, or the final release of the encyclical, the final version, wasn't too different. They just changed a couple of words, but it's pretty much the same message. Now, the draft was released, according to the Vatican spokesman, to prepare the world, to prepare the media for the release of it. And some controversy is surrounding that as well, because they asked the media not to publish it, and even threatened them to be fined or jailed. But conservative analyst Sandra Magister included the draft in an article. This upset the Vatican press office, who suspended Magister's press credentials, and he was even escorted out of the press office. Now, this suspension was met with negative reception by those in the church who call themselves conservative and are already drumming up conspiracy theories. So we're starting to see that a lot in the Twitter world and the Catholic blogosphere. They already are calling this a conspiracy theory of some sort. They're already saying that the Pope is a liberal, and he doesn't want the conservative viewpoint there, and blah blah blah, and all kinds of crazy ideas that these people are perpetuating online. Pretty much defaming the Holy Father and all kinds of nonsense. And the GOP candidates for the presidency, especially Catholic ones, are now in an awkward position, since now they have to find a way to balance their Republican anti-global warming views with that of the Pope in this new encyclical. For example, Jeb Bush had this to say, quote, "The Pope ought to be making us better as people and less about things that end up getting into the political realm," end quote. And Catholic politician Rick Santorum even publicly criticized the Church and the Pope prior to the release of the encyclical and the Church's understanding of science, stating, quote, "The Church has gotten it wrong a few times on science, and I think we probably are better off leaving science to the scientists and focusing on what we're good at, which is theology and morality," end quote. Now, he had released a statement, I believe, disputing that he actually said this or that the media took it the wrong way or whatnot. But I leave that up to you to research and look for yourself and see what was the context of his words. Even Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, who normally defends the Pope and the Church, attacked Pope Francis' academic credentials and downplayed the role of the Church to speak on the environment. So, the Catholic League, I'm not sure if it's Donahue that tweets this or somebody else, but the Catholic League account on Twitter tweeted these two things. The first one was tweeted on June 16th at 8:46 in the morning of this year. And it said, quote, "Pope has taught philosophy, theology, literature, and psychology. He has no background in the natural sciences and no degree in chemistry," end quote. And the other one was tweeted the following day on the 17th at 2:52 p.m. of this year. And it says, quote, "Neither the Catholic Catechism nor the Catholic Encyclopedia has a listing for the environment, never mind climate change," end quote. Now, this is a bit odd, and I'm going to get to that a little bit later regarding these tweets. But scientists are optimistic that they have a Pope siding with them. They're very happy about that. The majority of the world's scientists are in agreement that global warming is in fact real, and that humanity has a big role in it. Dr. Catherine Hayhoe, a climate scientist at Texas Tech, said, quote, "Someone else has a lot of influence in the world, so that is encouraging. Someone who has a lot of influence in the world, so that is encouraging. So exciting. It's like, oh my goodness, the Pope gets it. We become scientists because we love science. Communicating, we don't do as well. Now the Pope is doing that for us," end quote. The document was released with a scientist present who's an atheist, a scientist who deals with the climate, as well as Cardinal Sarah and an Orthodox priest. So many speculate that the Pope did this in order to give a message that this encyclical was meant for the whole world, not just for Catholics, because he invited an atheist scientist and an Orthodox priest representing the Orthodox Church. Now, Laudato Si means praise be, and it comes from St. Francis of Assisi, Canto Good Creatures, which was composed in 1225. And, of course, St. Francis of Assisi is the person who Pope Francis took the name Francis from, in honor of this saint. So, this is not the first time that that the Church has spoken on the environment, and I'm not too sure why the Catholic League tweeted that I read to you, because Blessed Paul VI wrote in Acta Gentium Adveniens, quote, "While the horizon of man is thus being chosen for him, another transformation is making itself felt, one which is the dramatic and unexpected consequence of human activity. Man is suddenly becoming aware that by an ill-considered exploitation of nature, he risks destroying it and becoming in his turn the victim of this degradation. Not only is the material environment becoming a permanent menace, pollution and refuse, new illness and absolute destructive capacity but the human framework is no longer under mass control, thus creating an environment for tomorrow which may well be intolerable. This is a wide-ranging social problem which concerns the entire human family. The Christian must turn to these new perceptions in order to take on responsibility, together with the rest of men, for a destiny which from now on is shared by all." End quote. And this was a document that was released in the 1970s, I believe in 71. Also, Pope St. John Paul II had this to say to the United Nations. Quote, "The Church's commitment to the conservation and improvement of our environment is linked to a command of God. In the very first pages of the Bible, we read how God created all things and then entrusted them to the care of human beings, who were themselves created in His image. God said to Adam and Eve, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.'" End quote. And this was a speech he gave in 1985. Now, the Catholic League, Donahue, whoever tweeted that, made a big gaffe, claiming that the Church never spoke on the climate or the changes in the climate or ecology or the taking care of the nature. And even said that the Catechism doesn't mention it, and it actually does. In paragraph 339 and 2402, and the first one, 339, says, quote, "Each creature possesses its own particular goodness and perfection. For each one of the works of the 6 days, it is said, and God saw that it was good. By the very nature of creation, material being is endowed with its own stability, truth, and excellence, its own order and laws. Each of the various creatures, willed in its own being, reflects in its own way a ray of God's infinite wisdom and goodness. Man must therefore respect the particular goodness of every creature, to avoid any disordered use of things which will be in contempt of the Creator and will bring disastrous consequences for human beings and their environment." And paragraph 2402, quote, "In the beginning, God entrusted the earth and its resources to the common stewardship of mankind to take care of them, master them by labor, and enjoy their fruits." End quote. So here we see that the Catechism does speak on taking care of the environment and so forth. And climate and all these things have to do with the environment. And not only that, but sacred scripture, the Bible, has this to say, Genesis 1, verse 26. "And God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps upon the earth.'" Genesis 1:28. "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.'" Genesis 2, verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." End quote. So you see all these different sources that the Church relies upon to show that we as the human race are responsible for the earth, to take care of it, not to destroy it, to till it, so to speak, and make sure that it's usable, it's habitable, and whatnot, in order to allow the human race and everyone else to exist, or the animals and whatnot. So Laudato Si was trending on Twitter and other social networks. It was really popular, getting a lot of attention worldwide, which is good. And surprisingly, it didn't get that much hate from Catholics who identify as quote-unquote conservative. However, Michael Voris, the famous Catholic reactionary, released a video criticizing the Pope for getting political and scientific, but seemed to be content that the text was faithful to the precedent set forth by previous popes and the teachings of the Church. He also stated that there is no consensus of climate change from scientists, And this is not true. The majority of scientists agree that humanity is in fact adding to global warming. This is not fictitious or a rumor or a scare tactic. This is true. It's going on. And the majority of scientists all agree that humanity, the way we're living life, promoting these different means of maintaining society via energy, fossil fuels, and chemical production and all that stuff, is adding to the global warming. So I really don't understand where Michael Voris gets his idea that scientists, that there's no consensus among scientists regarding climate change. Of course there is. Now, the summary of the whole document is that the Holy Father begins introducing the problems humanity is facing in regards to our home, the Earth. Using theology and philosophy, the Pope emphasizes the role humanity places on being stewards of the planet. Using the latest scientific data on pollution, climate change, and how societies can contribute to them, the Pope makes his case for humanity to start turning back the tide of self-destruction. He mentions that access to water that is safe and clean is a basic human right. Moreover, he laments the loss of thousands of plant and animal species due to the destruction of the environment. The Pope then goes into detail regarding the gospel of creation. He offers the richness of the Judeo-Christian biblical tradition and restates the importance of the responsibility that humanity has in the care of creation and the proper use of its resources. Pope Francis continues to explain the human ideological roots of the ecological crisis, from technology, poor business practices, fossil fuels, and other abuses. The Pope goes into details at how these affect our world and our people. He restates that abortion is never justified and even criticizes gender theory, stating that we should be happy with the body God has given us. The document then closes with prayers. So the Pope goes into detail using science, which is surprising for a Pope to do that in encyclical, even though it has been done in the past. And he, the whole ethicist of people who try to make money at the cost of the environment. Now later on, I'll go more into detail in another episode on Laudato Si and my opinion and whatnot, but I'm just going to give a reactionary statement on the, or reflection on it. And in my opinion, the Laudato Si encyclical is a work of art. And the Pope did an excellent job incorporating theology, philosophy, church teaching, the writings of previous popes, and science. And he also did something that no Pope did before, and that's he included a lot of science in it, and also he quoted from the Conference of Bishops from different places. And back in the late 90s, Cardinal Ratzinger, who's Pope Benedict XVI, who later became Pope Benedict XVI, he had a document released which Pope John Paul II at the time approved of, and basically stated that the Conference of Bishops worldwide in different locations had no power to decide teaching or doctrines or whatnot. And so it's surprising that Pope Francis actually quoted these bishops' conferences worldwide and incorporated them into his encyclical, which is heavily footnoted. Now, Catholics who are concerned that the Pope will go apostate were completely mistaken, and they should ask God for forgiveness for this rash judgment. Moreover, political conservatives who are criticizing the Pope, one of them from Fox News, who called the Pope the most dangerous man in the world, should set aside their ignorance and learn the facts regarding climate change and why calling humanity to care for the world is not a dangerous idea. Where do these people think they live if the planet dies? Where do they think they will live? Will they have their silly political caucuses on the moon or some other planetary body? As it stands, no other location in our solar system can allow life as we understand it. Moreover, even if we find an Earth-like world elsewhere, we do not have the technology to reach it. If we do try to reach it, we may die before we may even get there. The only thing we can do is, and must do, is care for the world we have now, the Earth. The true dangerous idea is living in denial as our planet dies. We must do this even if it means hurting profits. Life is worth more than money. We created money, and we can create something better that is not dependent on the destruction of human life, non-human life, plants, and the world as a whole. Now, I'm upset with these Catholic Benedict Arnolds, as I call them, and disappointed with Bill Donahue, Michael Voris, Rick Santorum, Jeb Bush, and other Catholics who are siding with political ideologies rather than the church. They must be loyal to Christ and his church before anything else. As for Santorum and Bush, I understand that they have to be Republican, but this does not mean that they have to be to blindly follow political ideologies that disagree with the church's teaching and common sense. Moreover, Donahue and his Catholic League were wrong tweeting that the catechism is mute on the environment. I clearly posted the above paragraphs that I read to you, 339 and 2402, from the catechism, which states that the importance of caring for the environment and ensuring that the world's resources are used in a way that does not become disastrous for life on earth or would offend God. I don't understand why Donahue did not know this existed in the catechism. Moreover, as stated before, Voris's comment regarding the use of science in the encyclical are ignorant. The majority of scientists all agree that humanity is harming the environment. This is a given. Furthermore, while science is not part of faith and morals, this does not mean popes cannot use it to make a case. Condoms, birth control pills, in vitro fertilization, and other postmodern concepts did not exist thousands of years ago. If we go back through time and talk to Pope Urban I, Pope St. Damasus I, or Pope Blessed Benedict XI about rubber condoms, birth control pills, and or in vitro fertilization, they would look at us wondering what we were talking about. Nevertheless, popes in modern and postmodern times wrote on them and expounded on the church's teachings mentioning these concepts. Humani Vitae is an example of this. Blessed Paul VI has scientists and medical professionals explain to him the methods that were being used for birth control and oral reproduction. They, along with other theologians, suggested he endorsed their use. However, he did the opposite, but still used the information he learned from them. This is what Pope Francis did. He educated himself on the science behind climate and pollution and presented this data using church teaching so that the text could speak to us today in 2015. This is genius at work and how the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. The church teaches the same teachings that never change using the language of today. Sacred tradition is a living tradition. Ecology and the environment are not political issues. They are human and non-human issues that affect all of us. God has given us charge to till the earth and keep it. This does not mean to destroy or abuse it. Donahue, Voris, and anyone else in the church who call themselves conservative are wrong for thinking that the Pope speaking on ecology and the environment are taboo. As a Pope and Vicar of Christ, he must speak out against the abuses that are occurring against the earth and all life which was created by God. This abuse has root in the exaggeration of the role of man. Man is not God. We do not have a right to destroy this world just to better ourselves. Again, earth is the only home we have. If we destroy it, we will not survive. Climate change is real. Studies clearly show that the ice caps are melting at an extraordinary rate. This is causing an increase of ocean levels, as well as the temperature, pH, and salt balance of the world's ocean. While this may not seem like a big deal on paper, in reality it is a big deal. These gradual changes affect the food chain, which in turn affects the many species that reside in the oceans of the world. This is why we are seeing so many shark attacks. As their food supply dies off, they go elsewhere for food. This brings them close to the shore where, out of extreme hunger, they attack humans who are nearby on beaches. Moreover, the change of water temperature interferes with weather patterns, since temperature is part of the system that regulates the pressure in the atmosphere. The carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere trap UV rays, causing more fluctuations in temperature, which bring about storms that may be catastrophic, as we have seen recently with Katrina, Sandy, and so forth, and the drought in California, and all these different issues going around worldwide, these horrendous heat waves in Europe, blizzards in the Northeast, and Northern European area, heavy blizzards and storms that were never the norm there. The reality of global warming and climate change is undeniable. We must care for this planet if we want to exist. Kudos to Pope Francis for reminding the world of the importance of caring for our beautiful world. For far too long, scientists have been ignored. Now they have a powerful voice of Rome on their side, fighting for our survival. Now, I end the program now with a quote from the late Carl Sagan, who said it well, and it matches well with the words of Pope Francis in the Laudato Si encyclical. And it says, quote, "Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in a great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity and all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit, yes, settle, not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand." And this is from Pale Blue Dot, from the late Carl Sagan. So, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and take it upon yourself to look at Laudato Si and read it for yourself. It's a very excellent document, and I give again kudos to the Holy Father for presenting the environmental crisis, the climate change crisis, and the moral implications of it well cited, well supported. And anyone out there who denies global warming and the effects that humanity is having in the world, they are blind, because we're seeing it all over the place. All these erratic weather temperatures, erratic weather patterns and storms and whatnot are just warning signs of what's to come, and it will get worse. And I invite people to look up the science on it and to educate themselves on the matter. This is not something that Al Gore invented or somebody else invented. This is true. Something is happening or not. Now, would scientists get everything exactly correct or no? But they have enough evidence to show that global warming is taking place at an extraordinary rate. This doesn't mean that the world doesn't warm once in a while. Of course it does. The world regulates itself. But we're noticing that it's doing it in a faster manner, and this is because of the things that we're putting up there in the atmosphere, the pollution that's disrupting the whole cycle, the whole connection of the natural processes in the world. So I hope you'll take the time to look into that and research that, and also read the encyclical. Thank you for listening. God bless, and may we keep. And you can visit my site, www.sacerdotes.com, rationallyfaithful.wordpress.com, and my Twitter account, Sacerdotes and Sacerdotes Radio, as well as my Google handout, Sacerdotes, with the V at the end, VS, not U. And you can catch me on those. You're free to contact me and whatnot. Bye now.